Sketch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Hold on to the edge of your seats because you are in for quite the ride. It's time for the Granada Forum Radio Show. Right now, live on air with your host, Granada Wendy.
Yeah.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Granada Forum Radio Program. This is Revolution Radio. We are the number one commercial-free, listener-supported internet talk radio station in the world. We're located at freedomslips.com. That's freedomslips.com. And revolution.radio. That's revolution.radio. Also, can find us on iTunes, I hear, as well, and one or two other platforms, I think, now. I want to thank you for tuning in. Today is September 9th. We don't know where the time's going. It's just flying by. But mm-hmm. It's happening. We're going to have a guest tonight. We got Arnold coming on, and we're looking for that, and I'm looking very much to hearing from him. And he's coming on at 8, and also joining us will be Mark as well.
Okay,
I want to thank my producer and the person who works behind the scenes, Mr. Nick Pearson.
Hey, hey.
And our fellow. Guy who's with us through rain or shine, Mr. John Graft.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you talk for a few minutes, John. But I can tell you this: whatever they're spraying now in Southern California, if you're in it for so long, you will just literally, by the end of the day, 4 or 5 o'clock, you'll have to just lay down for an hour or two because you'll be out.
Yeah, they're definitely spraying us with some kind of a knockout dust. I'm getting it too. I'm so tired. Everywhere I go, even just sitting in the parking lot for 5 minutes, I'm out.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel it sucks.
I just wanted to see the mothership coming in.
Oh, crap. I wish. At least I'd have something to shoot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that'd be good video.
Yeah, I totally agree. And now, by the way, Nick, we just want you to know, Southern California, it is raining at my house in the San Fernando Valley.
It's raining there a little bit.
Yeah, it's raining.
I heard that you were catching one of the tails of that hurricane that's coming in.
Hurricane,
yeah. They love those scary words. Golden shower, and that's about it. It's not very much.
Yeah, so we're getting a little rain.
It's raining, salty.
Yeah. But at least what I can tell you is best news is there was a fire, I think, in San Bernardino.
San what? A hua?
San Bernardino. There was fires in San. So I think maybe, Nick,
somewhere.
Yeah, and so I think at least, Nick, this has put some of them out, thank God, because we hit the triple digits, all of a sudden there was fires, and we're like, wait a minute, just because there's triple digits, how are these fires just, this is the thing, Nick, all of a sudden the fires start in California, and no one knows why, and they don't report it. They just say a fire is going.
Yeah, this one's out north somewhere, though. I thought it was out by, out by you, out in the valley. Here I'm seeing, like, the sunset's all fake orange and everything from the smoke, and we got all that. I can smell the smoke. So, and then you see the spray on top of that. That's so nice of them.
Maybe there was something going on in Cascade or Bakersfield. They had a fire. I'm not sure, Nick, but I heard San Bernardino, but I can't for sure, but
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, okay. I caught a little bit of a news clip, but I think maybe Nick can hit a computer, find out where the fires have been in the last couple of days in California.
They've been around for sure. And I don't think they're going to let them go on too long. I don't think they're going to let the rain come too long, because they did this before. They gave us a little bit of a squirt, then they said, oh, well, that was a hurricane. Sure, okay. So I don't think we're going to get much, but I could be wrong.
Right. Well, I just don't believe it. I'm just glad it's raining. It's dropped the temperature, Nick. It's no longer 105, 108, 10.
It's probably
somewhere in the high 80s, but a lot of humidity and muggy. But it's just so much cooler than 105, 108 in the sun. So that part of it's good. But at least, like I said, if for some of the fires that it's put that out, which thank God. I mean, God, I don't want people's homes to be burning. I think Big Bear actually might have got a little bit of a fire too. But I don't know if they. So I'm sure the mountain area's got some rain and stuff from the hurricane. So look, I'm just glad some stuff is out.
Yeah. Have you seen any of the pictures of the fires? That's one thing I haven't seen. It looks like the DEWs with the melted cars, and the flowers are fine, but the melted cars are out there. And
I saw something, a picture at night of San Bernardino, but I couldn't tell where it was, but they had embers, and I was like, oh, God. But I was thinking, well, at least maybe this got put out, and hope that. But, the thing about this is they turn on HARP, they do the weather, the weather, Nick, and the fires just start, and I'm serious, and it's just terrible.
Have you guys heard One Pacific Redwood yesterday's show?
No.
It's on YouTube. Oh, my God. This guy's telling you that these criminals are totally sucking up our moisture away, and this guy is so good. I'm surprised he's still on, but, I listened to it today, and I couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of this guy. Called Redwood One or something?
No, One Pacific Redwood.
That's right, One Pacific Redwood, yeah.
And listen to him, because he was on yesterday. His show was amazing, what these guys are doing, and they're so criminal. They're just sucking the moisture out of our air. This right now, I bet, is an accident, because they were really trying hard not to let us get rained on.
Oh, I know. I agree.
They're filth bags, these guys.
I'm looking at a map of all the wildfires going on, and Los Angeles is completely surrounded by them.
Are we?
Got a bunch up
okay,
in San
so where are some of the fires, Nick?
Well, let me see. You got a bunch up in the San Joaquin Valley, up in the Sierra Nevada Mountains.
Okay.
A couple over by San Francisco and San Jose. You got a bunch up in the north. But when you go down to where Los Angeles is, it's like the whole damn place is on fire.
Oh, God.
Okay, was San Bernardino and Big Bear and Bakersfield?
A couple up in Lancaster. You got four of them in Palmdale, one in Santa Clarita, one in Thousand Oaks.
One in Santa Clarita, okay.
Santa Clarita, Corona. That's got to be the one that we're getting here.
Corona, you got Marietta, you've got one in the San Bernardino National Forest.
Okay, that was the San Bernardino, right, okay.
And then, again, you got a bunch in Anaheim. You got Santa Monica.
Anaheim, Santa Monica.
Now they put all the names on it, so now it's hard to.
Yeah, I'd love to hear the details of these fires and see.
Yeah, I know. I agree, John. I agree.
Yeah, some in Downey, East Los Angeles. One down in down in Westwood. I didn't even know there was.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is no accident. This is no accident.
Yeah.
It never is.
There's no way.
It was a cigarette butt.
Yeah,
that's why the car melted. Okay, sure.
You got 13 fires burning in Los Angeles right now.
Oh, my God.
Well, I pray to God, Nick, that with a little bit of the rain that we just got and we're still getting, that this is putting some of the fires out just to put them out. But, yeah, the bioengineering that they're doing to start the fires, the bioweaponry, this is really real. This isn't figments of people's imagination.
No.
They got one
this
in
print.
Too.
Oh, great. That's nice.
One up in Newhall by the Newhall Pass with a 14.
Oh, God.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, this is no accident. These guys are just
up in that area because of the hills. There's so many hills up in the Newhall Pass area. I mean, that's all it is.
Yeah, they got all that dry brush everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So those get out of control real fast. Those are tough to
maintain. Yeah. It probably doesn't take much to do it with one of those DEWs. Just one little zap and you're done.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't say I haven't seen it yet, but all these other fires we've seen in the past, they can't be more suspicious. I mean, they can't.
Yeah, I totally agree, John. All this stuff that's been burning, and I don't know. You know what the problem is, too, Nick? I don't turn on my TV. I mean, I turn on the Weather Channel, but, because I sometimes want to catch the Weather Channel just to find out some things. But I'm not listening to local or practically news, and so I'm not kept. I have to admit, I am not in tune right at this moment with all the fires, and so I have to admit,
Neither because I
just don't want to watch TV. I don't want to hear such propaganda coming out of their mouths anymore.
Oh, I don't blame you. It's enough.
Yeah, because it's just obnoxious. So, but at least we got, like I said, at least it's raining, Nick. It's steady, and the only thing I can say, and I'm grateful, is just that hopefully it just put out the fires wherever these 15 or 16 fires are in Los Angeles County and outside of Los County, L.A., and just, hey. But, Nick, it's just, it's pretty bad.
I can hear the news reports now going on Los Angeles television. They're like, I can imagine it's, we've got a fire burning over here. It's burned this many acres, causes an evacuation, and none of the people that are evacuated have been vaccinated, so be sure to go get your vaccination.
Vaccinated and evacuated. Great. Anything
nobody
else?
Nobody who hasn't been vaccinated yet will be allowed to be evacuated.
I swear to God, I would not doubt that. You know, that would be something they would pull. Well, we can't arrest you and take a chance of catching COVID.
Yeah, we can't put our firefighters
in danger.
Responders at risk.
Yeah, even though the fire trucks just melted to the ground. Yeah, can't do that.
Yeah, stuff in paradise. That's just horror stories from there.
Yeah, that was insane. There's something hitting us. I don't know if you guys saw that TR-3B ship that goes through there. Have you ever seen that? TR-3B. TR-3B.
TR-3B?
Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Okay, so all the fires up there, they're catching a vehicle, like a spaceship type of thing. It's going so fast through this stuff, and they've slowed it down, and that's what they think is launching these fires. You should see them. Put TR-3B footage, and if you blink, you miss it, but they're just hauling through, and I've seen them, but you can't see them unless it blink, and you're gone. You don't see it.
Right.
But they're going across, and I've seen a bunch of footage of it, and I can't even believe these things. They're so advanced.
Those are those triangle-looking things, right?
Yes, it sure is.
I know what the triangle ones look like.
Yes,
yeah.
And they're hooked to lasers to where they can just go through and leave a trail of fire, boom.
You know, when Paradise caught on fire, one of the things was the cars were melting, and the bathtubs were melting, and the trees were burning from the inside out, and the fire captains are like, this is impossible. This is like laser weaponry. They're like, this is not... This is
microwave technology, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. The fire, it was weird, as you saw the trees standing, the flowers still standing, but yet you saw every house looked like an ashtray. It was completely
right,
done.
Yeah, right.
The refrigerator, everything that's not supposed to burn was just sawdust, and it's just dust. And that, to me, is microwave energy. You know, this other stuff doesn't hit organic stuff like trees. It doesn't do anything. But so this everything else was just so creepy. The cars with the tires and the wheel wells melting down into the streets. That's creepy. People need to look at this stuff. Stop watching the news, you know, because it's not going to tell you anything. And
no,
these pictures are
tell you anything anymore.
Pictures are just shocking, man. They really are. I got a ton of these pictures. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
News,
you know?
And the website is Pacific One Redwood? Pacific One Redwood?
One Pacific Redwood.
One Pacific Redwood. Okay, Pacific Redwood. Okay.
You look at yesterday's show. He's going to tell you what's going on. And, man, you're just going to sit there with your mouth hanging open because these monsters are on the warpath big time. And he knows all about it. He's been kicked off before, but he's back, and he's kicking ass. Listen to that today. I was like, oh, my God.
Unreal.
This is a war. I mean, people don't realize that. They're watching sports or whatever they're watching. I don't know, but you better pay attention here, people. This is real. This is not fake. They're already started harpooning your children, for God's sakes. Let's go.
Well,
pay attention. With their freaking shots and dartboards.
John?
Yeah.
From 18 to 49, so let's just say 18 to 50, or round it off.
Okay.
But from 18 to 50, the mortality rate from the insurance companies right now is up 78% from 18 to 50. So this is no lie. I mean, I can't even make this up. This is the mortality rate right now for the insurance companies from 18 to 50 is up 78%.
Oh, my God. Well, why do I believe
because
that?
Because these people took the vaccine.
Sadly, they did. They bought it. You know, this is my mind control, welfare. I mean, what do you call it? Warfare. Yeah, psychological warfare on people. Get them scared and they will do anything. And that's really sad because there's really some nice people that went and fell for this that I know. And it just makes me, it hurts me to see them going for it. They're so afraid. But yet, they're going right into the oven.
Oh, that's because their whole agenda is falling apart right now to a great degree. So they're turning up the heat.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they're desperate now. I think people are starting to sort of get it, the people that never did before. I've run into a few of them, too. They're just kind of really ashamed of taking the shot, and they're really starting to wake up a little bit. I need to interview some of those people because I'd love to hear that. It makes me feel like, oh, God, there's hope.
Well, I like the ones that come up and afterwards, you know, after they've gotten the shot and the booster, and then they go, they see what's coming out on the news now because it's, you know, they can't really hide it anymore. And they watch in Fauci and company beat a retreat, you know, because they don't want to go to prison. And they come up and be like, oh, my God, you were right. It's like, well, no kidding.
Oh,
why did I tell you? Think I've been telling you not to buy into this crap for the last 2 years.
Yeah, no. People don't know. They trust their little flag and their little government.
Well,
it wouldn't hurt them.
The thing now, trust in government and trust in the fake stream media is at such a low point. People are just, after all of this crap that we've been put through, nobody trusts the fake stream media. This is why everybody's getting shit canned over at CNN, because they're trying to shake up CNN, try to bring it more into line with what people are thinking instead of pushing their idiot propaganda like Brian Stelter used to do and all the rest of them that got fired.
Yeah.
It's
kind of late. I mean, there's a lot of people have already been damaged by this stuff, but
they had to fire the boss first. So, but then some of the other talk shows out there, they're starting to, unless they're hardline leftists, which most of them still are and everything, they're starting to soften the propaganda. But here's the thing that I'm watching for. It's like after the midterms, because they're afraid the Democrats are going to lose the midterms, which they are. trying to soften the blow up, so maybe they're trying to maybe do damage control, but I almost guarantee you as soon as the midterms are over, they're going to turn the heat back up again. But yeah, that's what they always end up doing.
I can't believe it has to do with politics. That's what kills me. It's just, this is right and wrong, and that's it. And these people are murdering people.
But they're looking
right there, straight out.
Advantage. That's their head.
What a shame. Yeah, how sad.
Pretty bad, guys.
Your health and well-being is a political issue to them. And it's what can I get out of it?
Yeah, it's sad. Every commercial now is for that.
Well, and you notice that if there's nothing in it for them, then your health and well-being doesn't mean shit to them.
Yeah, this is weird. There's weird commercials, too, on the radio. I don't know if you've heard of them. About somebody that if you were poisoned between, I don't know, 1973 and 1953, poisoned water.
At one of the military bases.
Yeah. What's this crap about? I mean, what about the planes have been spraying since then? That's the only time you've been poisoned is there. Come on, guys. That commercial makes me sick.
See, this is why they don't want to send a plane up into the trails to definitively prove what's in it.
Right.
Because then you can come back with the results and sit there. Here it is. Here's the hard data that says what's in these things, and there's no denying it now. Of course they will. Oh, you just make that up.
They're going to deny it, and the people won't believe it still. Oh, it's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
It's contrails. Sure it is.
Oh, man.
Conspiracy theory,
boy. I'll tell you,
They wore that one out. Didn't they use that one to death?
I think that's a little far-fetched now, John. That's a little...
I would say so.
Oh.
Yeah, I would definitely say that they've used it to death. I mean, come on, guys. We're trying to help these people, and they just push it back.
Everything is racist now.
Oh, they do that all the time.
By the way, historians are racist now, in case you didn't realize it.
Oh, good.
Because Joe Biden went and met with some historians, and the big complaint was, they're all white. Okay.
look where it's coming from. This
is not very woke of you. It's like, you know what? At some point, just shut the hell up. So sick.
Please. We've had enough. Yeah. Just throw these guys in the trash. It's enough of these clowns. You know, especially Biden. I didn't want to hear his name. Every time I hear it, I go, what a dumb nation we have now. They're allowing this clown to just waddle around with the crap in his shorts and make up stuff. And I just don't get it. It's a joke. It's a mockery on all of us. Like, here's your president, guys. How do you like him? Oh, he's awesome.
Oh, my God, he's racist, though, because he's white and has orange hair and he's rich.
His leg hair, I really like it.
And he puts out mean tweets.
Yeah, right. Like he knows how to put out a tweet. Did you see that little video of him following the ice cream truck?
No.
Did anybody see that? Oh,
no.
It shows him out there giving a speech with two other people. He's standing there up at the microphone, and there's two other people standing next to him. And as they're speaking, the ice cream man goes by in the background and Biden just waddles off to follow it, like, oh, cool, the ice cream man. And it's the funniest friggin' short video.
That's funny.
It is funny. The way he walks away, there's like a little child would, you know, which he would probably do in real life, too, by the way.
Well, there was a video of Biden giving a speech somewhere, and of course, he had one of those brain farts that he always has where suddenly his whole... His face goes completely blank because his mind shuts off.
How rare.
And he'll start looking off in another direction. And now, I don't know if this was the actual video or if somebody added the sound effects, but suddenly there was, you know, when somebody had put it up and Joe Biden's standing there speaking, all of a sudden he stops, there's a bell or something going off like an ice cream truck. And
they did.
Off in the distance at it. Yeah, that guy's mind is complete. That guy's head is so far gone.
They're laughing at us. They're showing us what they can do to us. You know, look it up. We can put anybody in there, and you got to put up with it. I mean, this is ridiculous. I'm not putting up with that crap. I'm not listening to him. I'm not studying him. I'm not listening to a word he says.
When he gets out there and declares half of the country are dangerous to this country.
Right. Yeah,
look in the mirror, douchebag. Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty dangerous himself.
And he just did it yesterday, too, by the way.
What happened?
People are starting to take him up on that. Oh, you're one of those Trump supporters. We have the right to physically assault you and dox your home and everything else.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's a game. It's a circus they're playing with us, and it makes no sense. And anybody running anything, there's nobody really there. They're just in your face. But the people running things, you know that, are above them, and they're making the moves. Whatever they're doing now with this weather is putting people to sleep. And I'm telling you, I can't stay awake during the day. I'm so tired. And it's tons of it up there. I mean, pouring it by the tons. And then on top of that, you can see them. Have you ever seen that? Is where they got the whole sky's filled with it. You can tell it's not real. And then above it, they're up there spraying that. So it's like, wow. So
I've seen the way the storm clouds move in here, because they move in, and when they do, it's nothing like you'd ever see in California. We got some badass storm clouds that come through here.
Well, I believe you, but I think they're adding to it. I think they're adding things to everything.
Well, here's the thing. In a couple of times, you know how you'll get that hole in the clouds where you can see the sky above?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, only you look through the hole in the cloud, and there are the lines up above it.
Yep, I've seen that, and I've taken pictures of it, exactly. Yeah, the only blue spot in the whole sky. Oh, thank you. A line went through it. Oh, shit.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, they're up there, rat bastards. Yep. So that's just pathetic. But nobody's realizing this stuff. They're playing the game. They're watching television and thinking they're being told the truth.
No, like I said, I always go back to the very beginning of the COVID thing, the whole big corona hoax.
Oh, that was sick. What was it, a monkey thing?
Well, no, at the point that they shut down all the air travel.
Oh, yeah.
Planes were flying, and the skies were absolutely clear the entire time.
I remember that.
And I kept telling people, look up. What?
Yep.
It's the sky. What's missing?
Right.
Dude, I don't know what you're talking about. It's
well, they never do.
They all. I mean, one day the whole San Fernando Valley was just crisscrossed with lines everywhere. Okay, we're restricting all air travel. Next day, absolutely perfectly clear day. Like I used to remember the sky looking in California.
Yeah.
You know as well as we. I'm born and raised here, and. You know, we cleaned up a lot of the smog in the late 70s, 80s, you know. And we had lots of blue skies. You could see Santa Monica. You could see out to Catalina.
Yeah.
You know, hate to tell you, but it was sunny. But something happened in the very late 90s. We started seeing some lines. Not a lot of them, but a few of them. But after the 2000s, boy, this is when they started kind of like, you know, I hate to say this. And then, you know, like the last couple of years during the COVID, there were a few weeks we didn't have it, but then all of a sudden there was so much chem in the air, you know, by the time it went from like 4 or 5 o'clock or 5 or 6 o'clock to 4 o'clock to 3 o'clock to 2 o'clock to like 1, and then by 12 o'clock there's no blue sky because they've chemmed us so bad that you can't see the sun. I mean, that's how crazy it's gotten.
Yeah, it had. And I went through a bunch of videos. I've been shooting videos since like 2009 or 10. But I started going through all the old ones and I started looking at them again. My God, there was around 2012 and 2013, this place was bad. They were in the sky like bullets, shooting every direction you can imagine. And they were doing the freakiest lines in the sky. They did those chain link. Look, I don't know if you've ever seen these chain link looking trails. They look like DNA trails. Oh. They were doing this space age freaky stuff. but it was a lot, man. I don't know how people did not see that.
One day when I was at my place and I stepped outside and there was a giant asterisk in the sky. And I guess me and Wendy got on the horn to discuss getting some content for the show and everything. Yeah. And she's like, "Have you looked outside and saw the giant star thing pattern in the sky?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you mean the giant asterisk that's floating overhead right now?" But yeah, by a couple hours later, I mean, it hadn't completely dissipated, but the sky went from that nice sky blue color to a whitish mist everywhere.
Oh, I wish somebody would have got that.
Time. I've seen that a bunch of times.
Yeah, it looked like, what did it look like exactly?
Like an asterisk.
I've seen a few things like that.
A satellite photograph of the East Coast, and they had like five of them up the entire side of the East Coast along the shoreline.
Very weird.
But that's all just coincidental, though, I'm sure. They just followed the coast like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally coincident.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a few things that surprised me. Like, remember that thing in 2015 when they said it was Elon Musk's satellite? Remember what that looked like?
Oh,
it looked like a big, giant, weird missile. It was leaving a trail.
Okay.
Yeah, that thing. But I saw that thing one day with my mom. We were standing in the front yard, and there was no word of it anywhere. I saw that come in the sky for probably 10 seconds. The whole thing was up there, and it vanished. The same exact thing. And I'm like, what in the hell did I just see right now? So I'm not buying his satellite stuff at all. It's ridiculous looking.
I remember the missile launch.
You can't trust them. They lie about everything, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's the problem.
I know. It's a missile launch. It could be a total weapon against it. In fact, that thing in the sky that Elon's launching went right over my house, and I could smell the crap coming off. It had more chemtrails coming out of it than I've ever seen in my life. And here we're watching some satellite. Really? That's a launch? That's how you do it? You poison everybody on the ground going sideways instead of straight up where it should be going? I don't know. Call me crazy, but I'm not buying anything about Elon anything. Don't trust the guy. He's an actor, and he's put in position just like everybody else. I'm done. You know, we have to look for answers ourselves. I can't take it anymore. Everything's a fantasy and just a lie.
Here's an explanation from the White House press secretary.
Good. That would be a thing. Thank you for sharing some hope.
Well, she's got some answers for you here, you know. So hold on a second. I'll let you hear. It kind of surprised me when I heard this because she has answers. I mean, it's, well, sort of.
I have answers, but are they good?
Yeah, well, that's the issue. You got to make up your own mind whether they're any good or not.
All right. Let's flip a coin. Let's see what the answer is.
Here we go. So this is the White House answers to every question ever asked.
Oh, my God. Gonna have some answers, but they don't.
Yeah. Jen Psaki sings was, we'll have to circle back. And this one is just like, I don't have anything.
You sure does. What a waste of time. Standing up there saying that over and over again. That's hilarious.
Well, that was
I got to get that.
That was a compilation of a whole bunch of different cuts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a montage that somebody put together with saying this over and over and over again. And you know what? It's true. They don't got anything.
No, they don't. They make it sound like they might soon, but they don't have anything right now. Okay. Yeah, that's funny. It's just like they're when they're repeating the same thing, the script, like when they keep playing that over and over.
Yeah.
Same thing. Look, what a bunch of phony freaks getting paid off to be quiet, actually.
Well,
about
yeah,
everything. How sad.
She probably really can't sing it. Probably doesn't really have anything because Joe Biden doesn't have anything because he doesn't know what the hell is going
on. Joe Biden.
He has a pee bag.
Yeah.
I bet.
Half of this country are domestic terrorists and threat to democracy, and somebody crap my pants again.
I love this kind of stuff. We gotta laugh because the one thing they don't like is when we have fun.
Yeah, you know? They want
look, he's happy. We don't want that.
They want everybody to be as miserable as they are.
Oh, they're just doing. Yeah, exactly. And they are miserable too, by the way, because they're not getting their way. They have people actually fighting back like we are. Freaks. And we got to keep it up too. You know.
And it was like. This is what the Biden administration is. Biden administration is in the libtards in this country and all the Democrats and everybody pissing and moaning and trying to make the world miserable. They're like the reboot of Battlestar Galactica compared to the first one. Okay? The first one was actually kind of fun. Yeah, it was goofy and stupid in a lot of ways. But it was actually kind of fun, especially if you're a kid growing up.
That was the Richard Hatch version, right? Richard Hatch and all that.
The new version, everybody was miserable. Everybody was suicidal. Everybody was running around whining and crying and bawling their eyes out and pissing and moaning. It was just like...
Oh, see, that's no fun.
No, it wasn't. It was annoying as hell.
Well, it is. That's what they got everybody doing now. They're all miserable.
Yeah, and that's what I said. That's what the whole last couple of years has been like. This absolutely just abject miserable, and some people are.
Oh, it really has been.
And everybody's a victim now, too. By the way.
Yeah, even the people that are seeing through it are victims because we have to put up with the masketeers and the whole thing. It's like it makes life very stressful. Even though I don't want to pay attention to them anymore, and I've had enough, and it's over, guys. Please, you fell for it. Be ashamed. Put your dunce cap on, but it's over.
Yeah.
You got caught. It's embarrassing. But yeah, it's enough. And people have been miserable. And nobody gets together. No families are together. They're all afraid that each one got
still,
it.
They got families still fighting each other over politics.
Oh, absolutely. That too, especially even if there wasn't any fake virus. There's still the politics. That's another. Separator right there. That's why I don't get into it or talk about it.
Donald Trump, you can't come to my house for Christmas. Okay.
You can't come to my house. Oh, you can't go see Grandma because you haven't been vaxxed. I mean, the lies beyond words. It was so bad I couldn't see straight.
Well, I know, I hear you.
So that people are absolutely, I think, fed up with this, especially since they got caught with the vaccines. They got caught putting crap into it. That even though we've been talking about this for 2 years practically now, nonstop on the station.
Yeah,
and
still people getting it though.
There are people who are getting put into certain offices, and not just in the U.S. but globally, who are fed up with it. They are going after some of these. These big pharma companies. Here's one. Listen to this guy. This is a guy from Romania, who's one of their prime ministers over there, going after Moderna and AstraZeneca, in the European Parliament, by the way, which was a big pusher for big pharma too. Gotta set this up right.
Thank you so much. The first set of questions is for both AstraZeneca and Moderna. So the first question is, I would like to know the date, if it's possible, when you decoded the full DNA sequence of this virus, or you solely relied on the sequence provided to you by the Chinese government. Second question, have you tested if the vaccines are stopping the spread of the virus or not? Because the data clearly shows the EU products are not stopping the spread of this virus. Third question, have you had people who died during human trials? And if so, what were the illnesses that they died from? Now, I have certain questions for Moderna, for Mr. Boncel. You stated here that you relied on the sequence provided to you by the Chinese government when you developed your vaccine. I have here an answer from EMA, which is showing for every vaccine the kind of tests that were done. So in the case of Moderna, for example, you provided data showing that you tested these vaccines since 2017, 2018, 2019. So how were you able to test these vaccines? Back then, when we found out about this virus in December of 2019. Second question, the contracts. You mentioned here that there are some secrets or some confidential information in these contracts that should protect your interests. Now, the question that I address to you, what about the interests of us and the interests of the European citizens? Because this is how some of the pages from the contract between Moderna and the European Commission is showing. So,
and what he's showing there on these papers is every single line has been redacted. You can't read any words. They're just these big black smudge marks. That black stuff that they put over the words.
Yeah, I've seen it, like the UFO stuff. You know, they block everything out.
I'm asking you, do you think this is fair to all of us? To talk about these vaccines, to talk about boosters, to talk about medical products, when we don't know the clauses of these contracts. So the direct question to you, Mr. Boncel, is when are you going to fully publish the contract that you have both with the European Commission and with the member states of the European Union? Another question, the issue of liabilities. You were asked by our colleague here about the liabilities and you avoided to answer this question. So my question to you is, why are you pushing the liabilities on the states and on the people who receive these vaccines and my hair, and I say in my hair, adverse effects, why you get all the profits? Nevertheless, the bivalent boosters, this is the last question. You just stated here that these boosters were requested by the US government, who also approved the boosters without trials on humans. So I'm asking you, do you think this is fair? Do you think we can go and ask the European citizens to be vaccinated with some medical products that were not properly tested or not at all tested in humans? Thank you.
Cheers. Next time, I'll deduct 40 seconds from your speaking time.
All due respect, it's an important issue, and the reason why they are here is to answer questions. Yeah. And I see that they are all avoiding answering concrete questions from my colleagues.
Yeah, it's also respectful.
Shut up about being respectful. None of these deserve respect from anybody.
Respectful. Kiss my
ass. Oh, my God.
Well, then he's right, though. They blocked out
all
these clauses in the contracts with between the European Union and the big pharma companies. So that means that they're not allowed to even know what the contracts are. The vaccines didn't have human trials. They tested 8 mice. Okay, 8 mice, and took the results and said, hey, yeah, we're good. That's what they did. And listen to what else the guy said. If we didn't even know about the virus until 2019, why were they doing tests on this vaccine as far back as 2017?
Yeah, there you go. Another good question, Sydney.
Oh, gee, you think they may have known this was coming?
No.
You think that's why they did the Clade X exercise in 2018, and then they did Event 201 in 2019, and then lo and behold,
what about
December
that?
Of 2019, it's like, hey, we got a virus. Keeping the propaganda machine.
Yep. Yeah, this is all... Once you look at stuff like that, you got to know that this is... I wish people would do more research on that stuff. Just take a look at what they've had planned for so long.
Hey, I've tried to get people to read these documents.
They won't believe it unless it's come from CNN.
They won't believe it. It's not so much as the fact that I said they won't even read it in the first place.
No. My news channel is the best.
This is just some right-wing conspiracy theory thing.
Right-wing conspiracy theory.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh,
they
my
do
Lord.
It.
And I just tell them, I tell them this. Look at who published the document. That's the Rockefeller Foundation that did it. You're going to tell me that the Rockefeller Foundation is a bunch of right-wing conspiracy theorists?
They're murderers, but
oh my god!
Yeah, this is sick. This whole thing is a sad joke. Wake up, people! Come out of your shells.
Mentioned a couple of other ones. Let's see, what else did I get? Try to get people to read. Tried to get them to read. Okay, if it'll ever come on, punch up a little bit there, pal. The global Sustainable Development Report, Building the Common Future We Want, published by the United Nations. You think they're a bunch of right-wing conspiracy theorists?
Oh, I distrust them. Yeah, oh yeah.
I gave them a report on what really went on with the 1918 Spanish flu vaccine. That's a bunch of right-wing conspiracy theory.
Yeah, that's a conspiracy theory. That's it. Yeah, so sick of hearing all this stuff.
I tried to get them so they could maybe even understand this, how Bernays, a book on Bernays propaganda and how it works, and that's obviously a conspiracy theory, right? Because if you read the book of Bernays propaganda in English, the term conspiracy theory is part of Bernays propaganda. It's how it works.
Well, conspiracy theory is a conspiracy.
Yeah. I tried to get them to read documents all published by places that are not anywhere close to being conspiracy theory companies, corporations,
right.
Organizations. They're put out by all these government entities, non-government entities, the United Nations, Rockefeller Foundation, whoever, a whole bunches of them. They will not touch them. And it's like,
no, they'll shut down.
Yeah, you read these things, you see what they're doing, you know what's coming next. Okay,
yeah, they don't want to know.
Yeah, it's conspiracy theory. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you're screwing up their bubble. They want to live in their little steak, world.
You're messing up my G, man. There's negative vibes, and you're messing up my G.
Right. Exactly. It's the truth, though. They just don't want to hear it. It's too much for them. You know, the cup's too full. They go, no. I trust my news channels. They wouldn't lie to me.
Oh, yeah, I know. And then they buy that bullshit hook, line, and sinker every single time.
And then preach it to people like me? Get away from me with your muzzle on, you freak. How are you still wearing it? Ooh-wee.
The TV said this. The TV said that. The TV lies.
The TV's not your friend. None of those newscasters are, definitely. They're responsible for the death of a lot of people, these tricks.
Oh, yeah, guys. John, we played on Tuesday, and we'll say this right now. We played this on Tuesday morning show, and I know Nick had the sheriff on from his county. But,
really?
Yeah, if you go to Nuremberg 1975, it has been 75 years, .com, Nuremberg 1975.com.
Right.
What'd you say?
It's not 1975, it's Nuremberg 75. It's a
75. Sorry,
75th,
okay.
75th
it's Nuremberg 75, excuse me, .com, Nuremberg 75.com. There would be a lady come on. She talks for about at least 45 minutes or an hour, and she goes through the whole Nuremberg codes and laws and said this is worse than anything the Nazis have done now. So basically, and you go to Nuremberg75.com and check it out yourself, but unbelievable stuff that this lady says, and it's phenomenal.
Well, I mean, I believe it. They're responsible for so many deaths. I mean, the news people. Think about what they're responsible for. Nobody knows about chemtrails because of the news. Nobody knows about the food being poisoned.
Because of I can't think of the law. What's the law they haven't repealed yet, Nick? The
Smith-Mundt Act.
Yeah, the Smith-Mundt Act. They've given them the right to lie, and my God, these people have it's propaganda beyond words.
Yes. Because it's considered entertainment. That's why. That's how they got it. Considered entertainment, but so you can lie.
Alex Jones puts out his opinion about something and questions the official narrative, and he gets three major lawsuits going against him.
How many people were saying exactly what he did, and he gets a rap for this?
Well, because he's the, as far as alternative news sites, ones that'll actually tell you something, he's the big boy.
Tons of people. Tons of people did stories on that.
I think referring to ourselves and Alex Jones and a bunch of other people as alternative news, because the alternative news is really like the big alphabet people, because they ain't telling you nothing.
No, they're not telling you anything.
But the lady at Nuremberg, she was great. She gave a speech about why they created the Nuremberg Code to begin with and all the countries that signed on to it, and now they're just completely ignoring it altogether. Just like they do everything else. It's not convenient to enforce it, so guess what? We're not going to bother.
Yeah. See, this is sick. This is complete. It's so unbelievable. I can't even believe they come up with something like the Smith-Mundt Act. I mean, really? Tell people lies to get them killed. That's beyond entertainment. They're saying this is entertainment so they can say this stuff.
I know.
That doesn't work. I mean, you're responsible for a lot of death. And these guys are, because people follow along with these losers.
When these moron talking heads on TV, they run around saying, how wonderful Joe Biden is. He's so well-spoken and brilliant. No, he's a babbling, drooling mongoloid at this point.
Oh, please, who says that? Even they got to know that this guy's a
moron. Like, is really very intelligent. And he's really well thought out. No, he's a drooling, effing mongoloid who craps his pants, can barely walk up to a podium, doesn't know where he is most of the time, and then when they do need him to be have any kind of lucidity whatsoever, they pump him full of some kind of drugs that gets him all worked up, and of course they gotta get him out of there before the drugs wear off and he starts answering questions.
Exactly. Nancy Pelosi is not there to tell him what to say.
Oh God, listen, before the election, 2 years ago in November, they had somebody on George Norrie one night. I was listening, and he said, hey, if there's one thing he can do right now that would help the country, the guy said they've got to repeal the Smith-Mundt Act because the mainstream media is literally, the propaganda and the lies are so bad now. He says he can repeal it, and Trump never did. And this has really caused this is going to be one of the major things in a history book in years to come.
Yes.
It's because of the Smith-Mundt Act that they were allowed to just spread propaganda beyond words and get away with it.
Remember what happened at the Nuremberg trials? When they got done with all the leaders, the political leaders in Germany, and gave them all their sentences. A lot of them were hanged. Some of them were put in prison for the rest of their lives, depending on the severity of their crimes. They went after the journalists, the news people, and they put them on trial, too, for pushing the propaganda that allowed the Nazi Party to
continue. I don't have a problem with
found
that.
Found them guilty and hanged them along with the rest of them.
Yeah, I got to admit, because they've killed millions of people while telling people to go get the vaccine, and it's a bioweapon, and it's just
how dare them?
Yeah, it's unbelievable, and what are they going to say? They're sorry? This is beyond words. Sorry, this was information that was not even correct, not even by a little.
No, it was a propaganda word, and when you
get
you know it's screwy when you got, I think it was ABC, I don't remember which, it's one of the big three-letter alphabet news outlets anyway. They brought Fauci on, and they introduced him as America's favorite doctor.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
What a douche. Wow.
And America's favorite doctor.
I know he's mine. It's Marcus Welby.
Thanks to Rand Paul challenging him in the Senate at some of those hearings, but not being able to do much because you can't get the Republicans to get together and do much of anything anymore. But he challenged Fauci, and people started paying a little bit more attention to him. And now with all the adverse effects and deaths being something that they can't ignore anymore, Fauci isn't everybody's favorite doctor anymore. I don't think he ever really was. Was never mine. I'd like to know if they call him America's favorite doctor, who did they poll? Well, I polled myself,
exactly.
And I found out that 100% of people agree that Dr. Fauci is America's favorite doctor.
More propaganda. See, there you go. They're allowed to say it.
It was ridiculous. I thought I was listening to the Ministry of Truth put out the reports. have faith, brothers. We're getting more rations of chocolate, and we've put out this much more in production, and you can go out and celebrate your new happy life. It's like...
new happy life.
Yeah, you know, this is bad.
Our third five-year plan is... has been working like to perfection, and like, good God, hang me.
Yeah, this is true. That's probably the worst crime of all, the Smith-Mundt Act being allowed to be implemented on us, to be able to do that to people, because that's just straight out murder.
This is straight out murder and lies.
I mean, this was definitely a mistake by the Trump administration.
Wasn't that Obama who started this?
The guy said it on the George Norrie show, and he said, "Look, they've got to repeal." This was like back in April or May. He says, this has got to be the number one thing right now that he can do for the country is repeal the Smith-Mundt Act and force these guys to start telling the truth. It never happened.
A shocker, huh?
I don't know.
That's got to happen.
He had a lot of bad advisors around him. The crap that's come out about Jared Kushner now is just like ridiculous. If he ever gets back in office again, he's got to get a whole load of different people. Anyway, we're at the break here, so.
Okay, we're gonna bring on Mark and Gary Arnold. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Granada Forum Radio Program. This is Revolution Radio. Hold on 1 second. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt, yes, I think, thank you. Welcome to the crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association. when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Wendy? All right, I'm going to call in Mark and Gary here.
Okay.
See if I can. Skype won't stop screwing up my thing here.
Okay. Take it, we're back?
Yes, we're back.
Okay, we got Tom with us, Gary with us, and Gary and Mark?
Well, not yet, but I'm calling them in.
Okay, great,
Mark.
All right.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark, thank you for joining us.
Mark, what's up?
Yes, I'm sure you guys are mourning that the Queen is gone.
Oh, I know. I've been crying all day.
I'm in tears. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was my comment on one of their the bits that they put up on the internet was, you know, we fought a war 246 years ago, so I don't have to give a shit.
And she was alive then, too, by the way.
Well, all I can remember the most about the Queen is she was in charge of more people
on
the planet than anybody else.
Hey, Gary.
Right.
Hey, Gary, welcome to the Granada Forum.
Welcome to the Granada Forum.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us tonight. And, we're going to give you a few minutes to, if you want to say a few things that you might want to talk about. So we're going to give you first crack.
Well, Gary,
okay.
First
well, let me know when you're ready.
We're ready.
Have you been mourning over the Queen dying?
I wanted to begin with the parallel government that was proposed actually by the British Fabian Socialist Society, and that was during World War II when they came up with a booklet that I've got in front of me, research series number 63, regional government, and they've got their little emblem with the turtle. When I strike hard is a slogan underneath it. And we've got a new city manager in Santa Cruz that actually went to the London School of Economics, where the Fabian Socialist, you know, they created that particular university. But, they, you know, they really spell it out. It says, at last we have established regionalism, meaning they had been working it for a long time. And they mention about endeavoring to devise new authorities and new areas for their administration, and that these areas where narrow municipal boundaries are cramping the growth of collective control of industry. And, of course, all of that's happening now, especially in California. We've got every square inch under CalCOG. A COG is a council of governments. It's really no more than a Soviet. Here on page six, they say less than a year later, the country's been divided into regions, and regional commissioners have appointed to all of them. The regional offices have been opened, and the office staffs allotted to the commissioners. This was an essential part of the government's war organization. And they're saying that the political changes this is a dramatic innovation, is a striking illustration manner in which it is necessary social and political changes force their way in at the back entrance. And as you know, their stained glass window is a wolf in sheep's clothing. So they you know, pride themselves on being sneaky. They said here at one stroke, they had installed a regional system, which, while leaving local authorities apparently untouched, offers formidable challenge to the future of their existence and status. Now, we've had both Willie Brown, an AP report, saying he wants to get rid of all cities and all counties, which has been out there. And then the largest lobby west of the Mississippi was co-founded by Leon Panetta, and his co-founder, Lenny Mendonca, who now works under Newsom, belongs to the Committee for Economic Development, and they advocate getting rid of 80% of all local governments. And they say the three fundamental functions, one, it would be the eyes, ears, and mouth of the central government. It would be responsible for civil defense and other orders to be carried out nationally. And it would take the place of governments in those particular regions. But they go on and on, page after page. It's played a most important part in the process. The war has played an important process in hastening the acceptance of regional government as an obvious necessity. And it says local centers of local democracy are overshadowed and reduced to insignificance by their regional commissioners. And of course, all of this is happening here. Because they get the, you know, World Bank and United Nations funds going on, and there virtually is almost every city councilman and every supervisor in the state of California is going along with this transfer of authority. This is the last page of quotes that I'll touch here. It says the regional commissioners have been superimposed upon the present existing chaos. And, of course, chaos is what they refer to as, you know, people controlling their own government. And it says, on the contrary, that the creation of the new regional councils will make an improvement for the rest of the structure even more necessary. So what they do is they're piling one, two, and three. It says elsewhere there will be at least two, sometimes three layers of authorities between the powers and the responsibility to divide it. The organization we envision for the future will consist of a double-deck structure. The top deck will consist of the regional councils, as already described, and the lower deck will, you know, consist of the appearance of, you know, self-government with the city councils, the town councils, and local counties and local authorities. So, you know, this was really spelled out, and of course, it's taking place everywhere in the United States. They're assuming all control, and the last emergency they used that we've all known about is the COVID, where they suggest even in this brochure that, you know, that these regional agencies can take over the police and healthcare, et cetera, you know, planning departments, the whole kit and caboodle. But it is dictatorship. It's the same thing that was applied in Belgium and in France. And, of course, it's thoroughly done in California. And this is the function of Leon Panetta's group. And that's an extension of Common Cause. And Common Cause was founded by John Gardner with Rockefeller money. In fact, he sat on the Rockefeller Foundation for a while. Another donor was J. Richardson Dilworth, a member of Skull and Bones. They involved themselves in local politics. They were involved in my campaign. We were able to, you know, catch them at some of their skullduggery. And people, Republicans and Democrats throughout the Monterey Bay area here, are members of California Forward. So even the person that organized the last Republican Central Committee meeting with Munger money is a member of Common Cause, which, again, Leon Panetta has been very forceful in supporting the underground network of communists ever since he began. In fact, when he was the chief of staff for Bill Clinton, who was a Rhodes Scholar, his right-hand man was John Podesta. And, of course, John Podesta just has been given $250 billion to, I don't know, attack poverty or something. And, of course, if you have any remembrance of Pizzagate, I mean, they had, you know, they had letters back and forth, just like the Hunter, laptop.
Right.
And both Podesta brothers are lobbyists for Red Giant. So anyway, it continues. We've got Larry Elder coming up speaking in about a week or so, and I don't think he mentioned a word about California Forward or Bilderberg or Biden or anything outside of, you know, the regular platitudes or common sense that a lot of people would like to have. But, you know, unless we have a strategy to name and go after these, you know, purveyors of evil and control, I don't, you know, there's not a chance you're going to win. You know, the best defense is a good offense, and we're not going to win without it.
Remember, Bilderberg was just a conspiracy theory.
Until
it wasn't.
Right.
Well, even Wikipedia, I mean, if people are out there and they punch up Wikipedia, they'll find, even in the preface before you, you know, click on Wikipedia with the with Prince Bernard's name on it, it mentions that he was a member of Hitler's SS. He joined them very early when he was in his teens. Anyway, their control in Belgium with the, you know, with the Hague and all their involvement with the European Union has been, you know, unwavering. And from that small group in '54, when they met, they were just fulfilling George Marshall's plan. The one warned by Jerry Voorhees, who Nixon replaced, who in 1942 said, no matter who wins, there will be the cartelization of Europe. And he says most of the Nazis that he knows of are spending their time in Switzerland with Alan Dulles and working on the post-war plans. So this was done, and it said, and this is going to happen, you know, whether Hitler's around or not. I mean, actually has that in his book, Beyond Victory. So they know what they've been doing, and they're coming to a conclusion with it, and people need to wrestle against these forces with the best truth and brochures and information and persuasion they can come up with.
Well, Gary, that's fantastic. Thank you. That's just incredible.
Yeah. I've also had two books sent to me. Actually, they're part of hacking. I was picking up some of the deep state books. I got a couple books on the deep state, one by Arthur Thompson and one by Alex Newman on the deep state. And they included two books. One is called The World of Soros, Influencing Elections.
Oh,
and the other one is Benedict Biden. Now this is finally cheap enough that we can afford it. They have it available, I think, online for a case. You can get them for $2.95, and I believe anyway. But if you negotiate for several cases of them, they're 64 to a case. You know, that's only $70 or something, plus a little bit of postage. But it's Benedict Biden. It's 150 pages. It's got an index, and you know, the first couple of pages was stuff I never knew. I never knew that wow. Biden and his wife got married at the United Nations in that chapel, you know, across the street. And so did Biden's sister. Anyway, wow. it's just a chuck full of real valuable information, and it's cheap enough that you can toss them, you know, literally toss them door to door. So it's Monday, I ordered a couple cases of each of The World of Soros and Benedict Biden, and they have another one on 2030, you know, the Agenda 21. And these were so well written, I'm ordering a case of those without seeing them. So there are things, and if you've got a candidate you like, you know, submerge, you know, get these books around their helpers and their families in these central committees or any other place where people are concerned either about their schools or their businesses, et cetera. But they're terrific, and they're, you know, really inexpensive. I mean, it's seldom you can, you know, get a book that cheap.
Yeah, I'd like to get a couple of those things too. Have you got a place where we can buy them?
You just go to the John Birch Society and look under shop, SHOP, and they'll have them, and just tell them you're interested in the cheapest price and you'd like to get a case of them and see what they can do for you. Now, the other one is the Sutton one. America's a Secret Establishment. You can, again, right now, people listening, or if you've got a computer in front of you, go to Amazon and look up The Order and Education by Dr. Sutton. And you'll find that a copy of that is $1,220. But you can get the full book, America's Secret Establishment, including The Order and Education, has Introduction to the Order and Revolution, and the Cultism of the Order, which was his final book. But here you can get his final book for, you know, $19 or so from Trine Day Press. And they've got they publish suppressed books, and they have, you know, I mean, they have a wonderful selection. I don't know how that guy keeps up with it, but his stuff is fantastic. But back when that first came out in the early 80s, there were, intelligence agencies and people around the world buying that book for $400 a piece. And now you get it, you know, $19, and it's got all the members of Skull and Bones, 15 each year up until, I don't know, maybe about 8 years ago, till 2009 or something like that. But it's well put together, and, you know, for $19 plus postage, you got yourself an education there.
Yeah.
Is it more comprehensive than reading the Committee of 300?
Both are a little bit different. Skull and Bones, I think, is valuable because of their unique power. I mean, one of the guys, Alfonso Taft, I think, was trained by a member of the Illuminati, and William Russell, the co-founder, was the one that was exporting opium from Turkey to China, which eventually caused the Boxer Rebellion, I think, some decades later. But Skull and Bones, you see them every day on TV, whether it's Kerry or Bush or Munchkin or, you know, a bunch of these other folks. And,
or John Kerry.
Yeah. And, you talk Kerry, his wife was married to Hines, and Hines was Skull and Bones and Pillsbury and a lot of other ones. So, and he does mention the three other societies that he knew about then. I think Scroll and Key and Elihu, and I think there's one other one. But since that time, we've found a few more Skull and Quill, or Dagger and Quill, I think it's called, that Swalwell belongs to. And that's at Cornell. And their building has four crosses on it, including the Nazi insignia, you know, the crooked cross.
Great.
Isn't that Cornell University?
Yeah, I believe that's Cornell. And I think Cornell was founded by J. Dickinson White, who was Skull and Bones. I mean, all these are connected, you know, in the background. They got wires going back and forth,
right,
and all working for their world order and their family and the depopulation.
Sick, twisted freak.
And they're all probably meet at the Bohemian Grove on an annual basis.
Oh, yeah, big barbecue.
Oh, the first president of CalCog was a mayor from Santa Cruz. And this was when Panetta was still chief of staff, and he wrote praise after Bert Muhley, M-U-H-L-E-Y, I think it was, died, because he was the first president of CalCog. But when he died, he left all his belongings to the communist Sandinistas. And, of course, Leon Panetta has supported, communists after another. He gave him military and policy information to Hugh DeLacy. I must have three or four Un-American Activities books here right in front of me with page after page of Hugh DeLacy. Here's one quote out of the Washington State Legislature talking about, I'll quote from their report. It says, it's interesting to note that Washington State Legislative Committee elicited testimony from Mrs. Catherine Fogg, a Democratic leader and ex-legislator, and that Hugh DeLacy, as a member of the Communist Party, Mrs. Fogg reported as testifying, I wanted to quit the Communist Party long before I did, but I was told not to quit. And at a picnic at Shadow Lake, Hugh DeLacy wagged his finger at my nose and said, Catherine Fogg, we made you and we will break you. So, anyway, this guy was a communist enforcer, and this is the guy that Leon Panetta praises inside, the congressional report. If anybody looks up Panetta Gate, they haven't rubbed all that background and information out so far. So, and I don't know. I think some of you are, may have a little gray hair like me, but there was FBI informant Carl Prussian in California, and he was an undercover FBI person, and he wrote California's Dynasty of Communism, and in there he mentions Brown, Alan Cranston, Stanley Mosk, and Hugh de Lacy's name is in that book. Hugh de Lacy's name is also in the book that Senator McCarthy wrote, which is called America's Retreat from Victory, about George Cattell Marshall. He's in, I've got a 1951 California 6th annual report, and this is by a Democratic committee that was in control. And just, you know, page after page, I've got these, you know, little markers in here of all these different, you know, communist fronts and so forth that Hugh de Lacy was involved with. He was working with Harry Bridges that was threatening to not ship arms to our troops in, you know, Korea and Vietnam. He was speaking at up in San Francisco alongside Agnes Smedley, who was working with Mao Zedong in person, in fatigues, and pictures, you know, with him ever since. There are letters between Hugh de Lacy and John Stuart Service. John Stuart Service was part of the Institute for Pacific Relations, called the Articulate Instrument of the Soviet Conspiracy, and they were supporting Mao Zedong. And it turned out that John Service had, when the FBI raided his office, they found hundreds of, you know, confidential and secret papers. Not quite like the, you know, Trump raid. But anyway, he served. He ended up serving no time. I think it was a Warren court, which Panetta was involved in that little dance with Senator Kuchel. Was appointed by Earl Warren when he was appointed when Warren was appointed to the Supreme Court. But the pictures of, I got a picture here of Panetta walking around holding up a big Mondale sign. And of course, Alan Cranston was a member, a founding member of the Trilateral Commission with Brzezinski and Rockefeller and the rest of them. And Alan Cranston was also a member of the United World Federalist, as was Norman Cousins and Ronald Reagan and you know, a number of other people. So they've been pushing for this one world government, and that's all these kids know. They don't know much else. Poor children. And I don't know where the men are, but if I were there, I wouldn't send my kid to the schools anymore. Send them to your aunt or your keep your wife at home, or have a older person in the family, you know, instruct them until they need the tech stuff, because right now they're being injured.
Dangerous. It's completely dangerous. I've seen them. They built the schools out here now. It's the fences. I've watched them put these fences up around these little elementary schools and junior high. Amazing. You're not getting out. You know?
Oh, I mean, yeah. No, if you know, if they're
strong.
If it's like Kissinger said, you know, about the UN troops coming to L.A., we'd probably welcome them. In fact, they got the paired quote. It says David Rockefeller. He says, "We're on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order." That's Rockefeller talking at the UN business conference. And
he accepted the mask pretty well. I mean, the mask and the whole fake BS. So I don't really have much hope.
And the other one he's got is, whatever the price of the Chinese Revolution, it obviously has succeeded not only in producing a more efficient and dedicated administration, but also in fostering a high morale and community of purpose. The social experiment in China under Chairman Mao's leadership is one of the most important and successful in human history. So that's exactly why we got what we got. These guys know what they're doing. They're following the Rockefeller's Council on Foreign Relations.
What a nightmare. What a freaking nightmare.
But mostly it's because people don't know about it. They, you know, they don't know what freedom is. You know, they shut up when they're told to shut up. And they don't
they're watching Family Feud, so they don't care.
Yeah,
you know, I had a question on the deep state. know, how do you identify who's deep state and playing on which side? Because, you know, there's a big question about Robert Malone, especially with this association with Matthias Desmet on the whole thing about mass formation. And I was watching Peter Bregan last night on Jane Ruby's show, and he actually saying that that actually not so much Matthias Desmet, but more Robert Malone is very, very deep state, and he's very involved with the Department of Defense, and that he may be playing both sides, but he's more of a deep stater than he is on the people that want to keep this country free. How do you discern on these type of people?
Yeah, well, you got to take your own pick on some of them. Some of them, well, look what happened to, you know, Ross Perot, you know, when he was running, and they threatened the life of his daughter when she was going to have a wedding, and his life too. And
He
just quit. I mean, if you get a gun pointed up against your head, and they're going to tell you they're going to kill you next week or something unless you quit, I don't blame anybody for quitting.
I forgot about that.
At the same token, they haven't done that to everybody, but I'm sure it's done. And sometimes they just, you know, take people out that are in the way. And now, especially since they're doing the massive culling, I'm sure they're making favorites on some of the people that they expect to, you know, resist.
Yeah.
But again, if you sit around and wait, it's just going to happen and go beyond. And I think we patriots that have been around for a while have really, postponed their due date. They keep pushing it forward and forward and forward. And there's only a small group of them. They're vulnerable. We have more people, I think, now that know about them than vice versa. But the people that know have no strategy. They don't know what to do. Some of them that, you know, matriculated through the Birch Society at least have some tactics that they, you know, they can use, and that's probably the best place for people to, get an experience so they're not just sitting there trembling with all of this knowledge. There's plenty of ways that you can derail a lot of their actions, and of course their actions really count locally, so that's where you can interfere with them and, you know, do your brochures and inform, you know, the various service clubs and et cetera. I know.
Are you
the
directly with John Birch Society?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Are you directly working with the John Birch Society?
Not now. I was a coordinator way back in the 60s. That was one time when I had distributed in 1966. We distributed 40,000 paperback books door to door. And they were attacking us using XCMO from Mexico. They sent in people to all the churches from the National Council of Churches. That was the first time I ever saw ethnic mailers come out. And we still almost won in a district that was, you know, 3-1. In that, we were winning, you know, as we went to bed that night. And then the next morning, we lost by about 5,000. But and they were probably cheating then too, but we got news all the way, you know, Granada TV from England came all the way out just to film that election. And we did a couple other campaigns using books and newspaper tabloids. You can get a lot in the newspaper tabloid. You can get cartoons, you can get details, you can put ads for, you know, books, you can put hyperlinks, you know, those hyperlinks now that you can take a photo of, you know, with your camera and go zippity-doo right to, you know, where somebody can go. So you don't have to be writing things down or spending your time trying to recopy it someplace when you can just use your cell phone to make a copy.
No.
You know, what is your take on what Edward Dowd is saying about the implosion of the world economy within 6 to 24 months and how that will play into what this communist takeover is happening in this country?
I think it's certainly possible. Like, you know, I believe they're looking for their digital money. And was it John Maynard Keynes said the best way to, you know, destroy a company is to corrupt its currency. And they, you know, they want their world currency, or just to actually force labor. They just want central, you know, so control. They, the money is, it'll be like social credits. It'll be like China. So if you're worthwhile to them and you're not a problem, you'll be kept alive and given a broom or something.
So they're trying to get the Federal Reserve digital currency right now.
Oh, the Federal Reserve is so bad.
Yeah, they've commissioned all kinds of studies to find out the viability of it and how it's going to work and all of that. And they're going to phase the paper money out. Just,
yes,
and
right.
Everybody's like, well, this is a great thing because, you know, it makes it easier to do transactions. No, you moron. They're tracking everything that you do, and they're shutting off what they don't want you to do.
Right. Yeah, actually, if you read the Constitution, it gave only Congress the right to coin money and silver, you know, gold and silver. It never gave them the authority to designate it to a private organization. So it's unconstitutional, just like the Department of Education that Reagan promised he'd get rid of and never did, and which is
right. I think the worst part is they're charging interest on lending money to the citizens of this country.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Well, I understand. I heard the guy, one of the guys that replaced Rush, I forget his name. It's a single guy, and I think there's a couple programs that kind of took his place. But this one guy is offering a free copy of the Creature from Jekyll Island, which is really generous because that's, you know, that's a good $20-$25 book. And it goes into the skullduggery. I'm sorry, what?
Are you talking about Dan Bongino?
He's on in the morning, and I'm walking around the kitchen doing so many different things. I'm not sure which his name is. No, it's not Dan Bongino. It's another guy. And I can't think of his name right now. But I thought that's great. I've always been a little critical of Ed because he didn't put enough of the secret societies way after the secret societies were known and their involvement in setting up the Federal Reserve. You know, the first head of the New York one was Pierre Jay, Skull and Bones. And anyway, you can go all the way back to the assassination of Lincoln and the guy in the booth. Again, you can go right to your computer right now and look up the assassination of Lincoln. And just look under images, and you'll see, you know, probably about 20 different versions of Lincoln getting shot. There's one where a colonel by the name of Rathbone is holding him while John Wilkes Booth is shooting him. There's another one where he's sitting on the far left side, and then there's another one where he's, you know, standing endlessly around, and then there's a couple where he's not in there at all. So, anyway, he belonged to Sigma, a secret society formed 5 years before Skull and Bones, Sigma Phi. The other person that involved in a presidential assassination is Earl Warren. He belonged to Sigma Phi, and of course, he was the one that covered up the JFK assassination.
Right.
So, and the other Sigma Phi is Charles Munger, who's the vice president of Berkshire Hathaway. And he's the one that's been taking over all these local central committees and, you know, funding all kinds of, you know, controls.
He owns the Republican Party in California.
Yeah, no, he's really bad news. Well, he's the one that made it, the biggest two vote-getters. Nobody else can run in the general. Then he put that initiative through. I mean, you know, what were people thinking? I mean, you can't have a libertarian or an American independent or a progressive or anybody else run. They could be two people from one party.
Yeah,
well,
nice.
You want to see the one that Alaska just did with their this latest primary that they had. They got this thing called ranked choice voting. And I guess that Sarah Palin was running, you know, whatever. But Sarah Palin lost the race because of the ranked choice voting. And, you know, from what I was reading in this article, the way it worked is she got 60% of the vote. The Democrat got 40% of the vote, and Sarah Palin still lost.
How is that possible if she got 60% of the vote? How could she – that doesn't make sense, then, Nick.
I know, but this is how it works. They do, the voting in rounds. If nobody pulls over 50% of the vote, then what they do is they eliminate the four, they got like four choices. They eliminate all the four choices. They take those votes and they stick them on to the next one over. And they keep doing this and doing this. Until
and I think they do it regardless of party. She might have got 60% in the Republican Party, but, you know, combined, she still didn't have a plurality in total votes. And I think, you know, it's just another way for the federal government or, you know, the state to nose their way into political parties.
Yeah. So how did,
ridiculous.
How did the state of Alaska put this in, Nick?
Because you got a bunch of people who got paid off to put it in.
Oh,
rare.
God.
That's how it always works.
Just how we did, just how we put ours in. It was, you know, a Munger reform. It was supposed to, you know, clean up politics and make everything more transparent.
Oh, God.
save a lot of money.
The two things that killed California was the National Committee 50 years, about 45, 50 years ago, stopped giving any type of money to any Republican candidate after they won the primary. They won't even give them $5,000 or $2,000 for hanging stuff on the door.
What they did was they held it back.
When I was running, I was opposing Reagan's so-called tax cut because it was the largest tax increase in American history. It was cut from a fictitious budget, which was real high, so he could say he cut it, but it, you know, the budget that he they brought to him was so high it was never going to go through anyway. So, you know, you just say these billions of dollars, you know, I'm going to just make it, you know, a few billions instead of, you know, 10 billion, I'm going to make it 6 billion, and it's a tax cut when really it's 2 billion more than the year before. So anyway, you know, I attacked him on that, and they cut off funds from me, and mm-hmm. We even got I'm trying to think. It was actually that guy that used to be with Buchanan a lot. I kind of like the guy, but anyway, he said from an LA Times article that's buried in one of my files. He says we know what they're saying in the local communities. We have a way to keep track of them. And of course they did, and you know, I got harassed by Rockefeller Family Associates and one of Reagan's hirees, which was Morgan Mason, the son of the actor James Mason. Morgan Mason has a detective, or did have a detective agency in Los Angeles. That's and true. he was brought to the White House when Reagan brought in all the CFR people and Caspar Weinberger and, you know, all the rest of them from the League for Industrial Democracy and all the other Americans for Democratic Action. And, you know, well, he appointed Skull and Bones Bush to be his vice president. What the heck?
Oh, good.
Right. Well, and the second thing that's killed California is that they took the voting rights out of the Central Committee, Republican Central Committee, And they've never gotten them back, and this has absolutely decimated the Central Committee members.
Now, you mean voting for endorsements, yeah, or no, voting at the
voting,
at the
voting
state
rights
convention?
In the party? If you're a Central Committee member, you're supposed to have voting rights in the party. But they took the voting rights from the Central Committee members, and they have never given them back.
I'd never heard of that. Wow.
Yo, yeah, this is one of the major problems, because half of the Central Committee members did not support half of the stuff that was going on in the California Republican Party, and they couldn't do anything because they didn't have voting rights in the party anymore.
Yeah, we saw that coming. Anyway, yes, yep.
So we couldn't even get voter rolls for the assembly districts, which is how California breaks it down. They told us no, that the central committee of the county would tell us when we would ask, we need the voter rolls for this district. Well, what race is it for? Who cares? Just I need a list of the Republicans in my district so I can do outreach. Well, you have to tell us what election it's for. Are you out of your mind?
I think they're hiding the nomination papers. Are also a good way to see what's going on, both of your enemies and possible donors. If you know somebody good out there, go look at their nomination papers and find out that who helped them or donated to them, and that would be valuable. And the same with the bad guys like Adam Schiff. Go see the people that gave to him, like Ed Buck and those, that crew. Yeah. But anyway.
We had 1 year when we were coming up for re-election back in 2016. Because a friend of mine and Wendy's, she was very effective at what she did. She was highly organized, knew what she was doing, and could get things done. There was a mailer that was sent out, a slate mailer for the assembly for the central committee members in her district, and there were seven names on it. Hers wasn't one of them. So I looked up the people that printed it out. Oh yeah, guess whose name was attached to that? Charles Munger Jr.
The spirit of democracy was the flyer we had here, and I looked up and it was Charles Munger. And then it includes people from California Forward, a Republican councilman from Scotts Valley up here, and he used to run the local little newspaper tabloid, but he's a member of California Forward, and he's on the a staff member for the San Jose mayor, and that's when Trump was running the first time, and a bunch of his followers had to go through a gauntlet, and the police wouldn't protect them. I don't know if you remember that, but there was even a lawsuit about it. Of course, the good guys lost, but anyway.
Yeah, they've done a number in California, that's for sure, between the taking the voting rights from the central committee members in the last 45, 50 years. The National Committee absolutely giving no money to any candidate in California. And of course, this doesn't get talked about, but of course, people who are on like us, we know exactly what happened.
Yeah, but you know what?
Yeah, people, don't send your money to the Republican Party.
Yeah, never give money, to the National Committee.
Give it to the candidate.
The Committee did do was when we were running for Central Committee the first time, back in 2011, we were coming in with the Ron Paul people. We came in with the Liberty Movement. They sent $120,000 to California to keep us out.
Whew.
Just for Los Angeles County.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I remember we had a central or maybe a national committeeman, Tim Morgan, if that rings a bell. He's from Santa Cruz. He kind of a meek attorney. And he always talked good, but I heard he was in Nevada, involved with some of the dirty tricks against the Ron Paul people at the Republican Nevada convention. But these guys are all over. And again, it's the Ripon Society, the Main Street Republicans, and in the state of California, it's the Lincoln Club, and that's akin to Bohemian Grove with all their occult and gang up there, and there's pictures with Reagan and Rockefeller and Weinberger and Haig and all the rest of them up there. Actually, in the House of Cards, I think there's one series where or two chapters in that series where they go to the equivalent to a Bohemian Grove, and it was kind of correct. But I think, House of Cards is how I remember a lot of D.C. working. I think it knocks a lot of naivety off people to understand, how things really are. It's not a velvet glove debate at all. It's a huge intelligence project with lots of money. You got K Street with every lobby in the world. You got Embassy Row with every country in the world. You've got prostitutes, male children and women and everybody else, you know, all, you know, just climbing all over them, not only in their own districts like Swalwell, but, you know, in D.C. when they're away and when they're at these various conventions. And that's where Epstein, you know, he collected his, you know, I'm sure he had tons of money because of, what was it, Maxwell was his sponsor. You got Clinton to travel to Lolita Island 26 times, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And who is it? Somebody owns another island pretty close to that, too. I forgot who that was. But these guys have been going, you know, but since Jamestown here in California. I mean, there's pictures with Jerry Brown and Willie Brown and Rosalynn Carter, you know, and Willie Brown praising Jim Jones as the next Martin Luther King. And it was Mondale that went to Guyana to create Jamestown to carve a place, a safe place for Jim Jones. And here I got Panetta walking around with a Mondale, you know, shrine. And he was the one that brought in Monica Lewinsky from Northern California into the Clinton White House. She was working for him before Clinton got his mitts on her. So, you know, Panetta's got his own Panetta Institute up here and all these little students, and just like Rhodes Scholars or Carnegie or all these other places, they send these, once they're turned into globalists, they send in these free interns for supervisors and all these other people. And you try to call a supervisor, you can't get a hold of them, but they got their little interns in there, you know, speaking their globaloney 24/7. And a lot of them, you know, taking them to bed.
Oh, God. Get me out of here, please.
Well, we need to get these books out. give them some trouble. Get some good, clear stuff that's out there, and it won't sound as terrible as us talking on the radio, but don't be surprised. I think the other series, and I believe I said this before too, is that Pope that Jeremy Irons was in, the first Spanish Pope, I'm trying to think what his name was. There's two series. One was done in England and one in the United States. And it's,
you talking about the movie The Mission?
No. No, this is a whole series.
Oh, series.
And
okay.
I should know it because it's a real famous Pope around 1000 or, you know, something like that. 9 or 1100, right in there. And it was the first Spanish Pope. So all the Italians were, you know, they were all conniving, and there were poisonings going on and bribery and, you know, daughters, you know, being married to here and there and everywhere. But it would give people kind of an idea that, you know, politics is not, you know, just something you negotiate, you know, across the table. And of course, you know, the communists never keep their word. You know, anytime they had a coalition government, they just, you know, eventually assassinated and blackmailed and crippled, you know, everybody else, and they'd take over. So you can't do a coalition with, you know, like the communists in any place. We've done that. They've taken over. So, and again, the communists are a creature of Wall Street, which is hard for people to believe, but there's lots of information on that.
Holy crap.
Yeah, do you know the connection between the Vatican and the Rothschilds and the world banking system?
Yeah, no, you'll find a lot of that, yeah. I think, I don't know, I normally don't go too far past the Illuminati because most of the names are still around. With that, and there's a European book from the European investigations and so forth, and I think it's called The Perfectionist, and that also can be purchased at Trineday, Trinedaye, on the suppressed books, but it's a rare book. But for people that don't know, the Illuminati is real. You know, Washington and a couple of our early presidents talked about it, and it's recorded in some of their letters. And actually, Washington was a Mason, but he was warning about the Illuminati. Anyway, there were two people, one from France, Abbé Berwell, and one from England, Robinson. I forgot his first name. I think John, but I'm not sure. Robinson wrote Proofs of a Conspiracy, and I believe the Birch Society reprinted that. It's probably still out there, at least on Amazon. I mean, these Illuminists, you know, they're talking about poisoning and, you know, all kinds of stuff. These guys don't fool around, and it's only for power, and they move people very slowly through their various degrees until they can trust them. Otherwise, they just stay lodged, and they think it's, you know, they're raising money for, I don't know, cancer or children or something, you know, whatever the front is.
But,
Recently there's some news about Fauci funding some more gain of function on revising the Spanish flu from 1918 for vaccine research. Why isn't anybody in the U.S. government shutting him down, knowing that he's doing another gain of function project with that the Spanish flu virus has been extinct and now they're playing with it in a lab? And the NIH is funding it.
Well, we're doing it. I know of the Rockefeller Foundation 2010. I know of the University of North Carolina 2015. And there's all kinds of, you know, letters that Dr. Dennis Cuddy's emailed me a lot of material from North Carolina. They're talking gain of function. And there's pictures. If on the internet, if you look, put 2015. Put Gates, Obama, and Fauci, and they're all together in the Wuhan lab. There's pictures of them. There's a collage of pictures of them, and people can find that right now on their, you know, on their computer.
Attorney Tom Rentz, who works with America's Frontline Doctors, and he's been
collaborating
with. Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
I go home. People ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of
war junkie, I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when...